Hi, this is Elmore Leonard. I'm listening to Film Sociology, and it's a real program. It's great.
It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the multiplex and the art house. What's new on video and streaming, and you might also hear about some dead people we like.
We don't have time for dead people we don't like.
Anyway, this is Film Sociology, where you'll find out what's the next cinematic marvel.
It was unbelievable!
And what's just a movie.
Shut up! My God, you have no freaking life!
Okay, here's your host and my dad, Matthew Soucy.
Hello there, film lovers. Welcome to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. I'm also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soucy. This show is available on iTunes, and like all of the podcasts here at WFYI, they are available on Spotify. Hope you're staying safe, hope you're staying sane, hope you're staying healthy, hope you're being good to one another, and hope you got to watch some good movies and or new movies or new to you movies. And we'll get to your picks in a moment. But yeah, you got to mention it. Tenet is now open, and I reviewed a different Christopher Nolan film because honestly, I'm not just quite ready to hit the theaters yet. So it's out there. You can read reviews of that film at the Film Yap as well as Midwest Film Journal. So go check that. Some of my colleagues in the IFJA wound up checking out the film. I'm trying to work on a drive-in. That might be the next step for me, or a press screening where I know everybody and we're really distant. So that's just kind of the world I'm living in my head. So we'll get there. We will get there. But there's also some music festivals that I'm emceeing that are outside. So that will be a next step, as well as I'm directing a play at the Cat in October up in Carmel. It's a radio production of Neil Simon's Plaza Suite. That's running the first two weekends in October. That will be a big step for me. So anyway, we'll get to that. But I want to give you the timeline for last week. Now, the show was posted Saturday morning because I was occupied with the family. Friday night, we had watched a movie and then found out about Chadwick Boseman. So looking back at his – I look back at a few of his performances that I missed because it happens sometimes. And besides the fact that the guy is already in legendary status and was – only 43, and I honestly thought he was younger, but the fact is, in his film career, playing Floyd Little in The Express, and that's one I do need to revisit because it's been a while, but obviously playing that, playing Jackie Robinson in 42, playing James Brown in Get On Up, T'Challa, of course, in Black Panther, and Thurgood Marshall in the film Marshall. So his last film is that we saw was he was Storm and Norman in Spike Lee's The Five Bloods. And I know they'd completed Ma Rainey's Black Bottom. Not sure the release date on that. I'm looking forward to that. There needs to be more August Wilson in film. And then Yasuke, which was in pre-production. Obviously, that's not happening now. But the fact that the man's impact playing those iconic characters in such a short period of time and being a really, from what everything I've read, a really cool guy, a really nice guy. And also, on top of all that, we find out that he had been working all this time for years while in stage three of colon cancer. And I know, as I revisited 21 Bridges, which I'll get to in a moment, that there was talk about he had lost weight after working on Black Panther and the Avengers films. And I guess it shows. I don't know because I don't watch that type of entertainment television. But after watching 21 Bridges, I could see a slight weight loss. But that doesn't mean squat. It's a role. He could have done, you know, plus not everybody's in T'Challa shape. So, but the fact is he was sick that long and didn't tell anybody, and nobody in his circle told anybody is astounding in these days. So, but he's already missed. It still stings. It still sucks. But he's already created legendary status for his work and well deserved. So Chadwick, salute to you, sir. So I went back, and he's also one of those guys that I've watched a couple of these films that I had missed because I wound up reviewing something else that week. But watching 21 Bridges and revisiting Marshall and 42, Chadwick Boseman also is one of those guys. He's always good even if the film is not necessarily. I don't know if I'm ready to revisit or not revisit. I have not seen Gods of Egypt. So, but I do remember him being one of the highlights in Draft Day. And, of course, he takes charge in the films I had mentioned, 42, Get On Up, Marshall, 21 Bridges. 21 Bridges is a decent little potboiler, although there's a couple moments that are a little uncomfortable right now at the time of this recording of the film, of the film show. Of course, 21 Bridges came out last year. He plays a New York detective who is investigating a drug deal, robbery, murder gone horribly wrong, that there's some corrupt cops involved. And as a big plot point, he orders that the island of Manhattan be shut down overnight while they investigate. So a feeling of quarantine and a feeling of corrupt cops. Maybe hasn't aged all that well in about a year, but you have folks like J.K. Simmons coming off the bench. It's in Sienna Miller is in this. The problem is you can figure this out really, really early on. And you could have figured that out in 2020. You figured it out in 2019. But he's good, even if everything is kind of telegraphed really, really early. And in Marshall, where he plays Thurgood Marshall and working one of his first big cases, it's another one where we have you know how it's going to turn out. Do you enjoy the trip along the way? And he does have some nice Chadwick Boseman has some nice scenes with Josh Gad, who is the white lawyer he has to work with. Kate Hudson is the defendant in this case, a woman who was raped and beaten, she claims, by a black man. You also have James Cromwell as the judge. He makes the most out of the role. It's a courtroom drama, and you know how it ends. You get to see Boseman with the swagger as Thurgood Marshall, and kind of the same thing with Jackie Robinson. He obviously played. I think he had a better performance as Jackie Robinson than Jackie Robinson did in the Jackie Robinson story. That's not a diss on Jackie Robinson. He's a ball player, not an actor. And what Boseman does in 42 is he kind of takes some of the halo off of Jackie Robinson and makes him a man. I mean, there's some larger than life moments, like the first at bat, and the ending does turn into The Natural. Anytime you put baseball in slow motion, you will be compared to The Natural. He bounces off Harrison Ford well as Branch Rickey, and Ford is, man, he's animated in this one, which is kind of nice to see because there's a lot of films it looks like he's not really caring. So anyway, it was fun to revisit those films. Just sucks under the circumstances. So salute once again to Chadwick Boseman. People are going to be watching his work forever and ever. The other thing I actually want to recommend, if you've not seen this, and as far as my favorite, I don't know if it's acting moments and or Chadwick Boseman moments, but probably both. But when he was on Fallon and Jimmy Fallon likes to do these little pranks. And this was when Black Panther came out. So this is 2018. But the him and Fallon hiding behind a curtain while members of the screening audience got to say to the poster how much it meant to the film meant to them. And then Boseman comes out and surprises the fans. And it's a lovely, lovely moment and very funny and touching at the same time. The other one is when he was on Saturday Night Live and he played T'Challa on Black Jeopardy. Look those up. That's one of probably the things I'll remember most because he's also very funny. Didn't get a chance to do a knockdown, drag out comedy, but quite good. So salute to you, sir. So going back to last week, so I had finished doing my work here at the station, and what has happened the last few Fridays in my household is Emma has been picking out movies, feeling a little nostalgic. I've been trying to pick the movies, but I'm just the dad in my house, and that's okay. But I was excited because there was something Emma and I were both equally interested in checking out, and another reason why we got Disney Plus. But Phineas and Ferb the movie, that's what we watched last week to start our weekend, even though my work days are on the weekend. But it was fun to revisit those characters and see a full-length film. And it's not a bad full-length film. It doesn't need any slicing and dicing. Also, the fact that Candace gets to tell her story, Candace versus the Universe. Say what you will about Ashley Tisdale. I'm not a big High School Musical fan, and some of the films she's done, you know, it's not Shakespeare. It's not even, yeah. But she'll always have Candace. She'll always have the voice of Candace. So there's a nice feather in that career, regardless of what happens to her. But it's fun to revisit Candace and being abducted by aliens, and Phineas and Ferb and the rest of the gang try to rescue her. It's just a fun watch. The songs are pretty good. Emma was excited that Vanessa got to be involved in the film again with her voice by Olivia Olson. And I think there are times Emma wants to be Vanessa, and there's a lot of times she thinks her dad is Doofenshmirtz. That's okay. But anyway, that's what we watched last Friday night. And then I got a text from a reliable source and a colleague and a friend who had said that Chadwick Boseman had died. And then I went online and there was only the TMZ report. And then soon after I had checked that, other news sources started to pop up. And then, of course, the Chadwick Boseman's Twitter page, official Twitter page, made that announcement. So that's kind of how that went last weekend. But yeah, Phineas and Ferb was something that Emma and I watched a lot when she was younger. So it was fun to revisit that with her and Lynn. Last week, this was one I did not see it when it opened. I should have. I missed it. It happens. That's what happens, despite the aura that film critics have seen everything. But I watched Free Solo, which was the film that won Best Documentary last year, about the gentleman who did the highest free solo climb of Yosemite, not Yosemite, in California. It was 3,200 feet. And I'm in a way kind of relieved I saw it on a computer as opposed to seeing it on the big screen. I have a little thing with heights. I go on planes. I go in tall buildings. But sometimes I get a little eh. And the opening shot, which is an overhead, and there's some drone work right out of the gate, just made me a little woozy. But really well done. Obviously, the film did its job, and the amazing camera work. There's a co-director in this, Jimmy Chin, who is a friend of the subject, who is making the climb, Alex Hunold. And the film is not only about Alex's attempt to make the climb, the training for the climb, and then the climb itself. And there's a couple delays, but also the film also addresses how involved the filmmakers are in this. And they try to distance themselves. They try to keep away from him as much as possible. They know that they don't want to distract him in any way possible, because it's Free Solo. You fall, you die. Alex had climbed this particular mountain 40 times, this hill, site, but had never free soloed. So, and there is a delay, and there could be a potential distraction with his girlfriend, who they just bought a house, as well as talking to the filmmakers. And then there's an injury. So they build it up really, really well. And then the last 14 minutes of the film are absolutely nerve-wracking. And I wish I could have seen this with an audience, because it would have been great to hear their responses. I definitely would have been making noise at that time. So anyway, glad I finally got to visit Free Solo. But man, I was exhausted after watching it. I also got to finally visit Sorry to Bother You. Really, really good performance from Lakeith Stanford as a telemarketer who develops his white man voice and works his way up the ladder. My daughter loves the film, and I think this was her first time except for Wolf of Wall Street, the kind of white-collar Faust stories. Boiler Room, 99 Homes, and something, and in this case, this. And there's a little bit of dystopian and a little bit of science fiction, which I knew was coming, although I didn't know exactly what. But I enjoyed it, and I'm glad I finally got to it. But really biting stuff. And nice wacky performance from Armie Hammer. And but yeah, uncomfortable, but tells a very powerful message. Congratulations. Sorry to bother you. And since I didn't see the new Christopher Nolan film, I went back and went to my pile, because I still got movies to watch, physical copies on my pile, and went and revisited, this time on Blu-ray, Insomnia, with Al Pacino as a Los Angeles cop brought up to a small Alaskan town that has no darkness to investigate a murder. Robin Williams, of course, is the lead suspect. Hilary Swank makes the most out of what could have been a throwaway role as the very chipper and obedient, almost local police officer who's assigned to help out in the case. Underplayed performances from Pacino and Williams. This is also the same time Williams went through the dark phase between this one-hour photo, the dark comedy Death of Smoochie, and he wound up doing more after that. But he hadn't really tapped into this particular type of characters in his career. And of course, a non-yelly, screamy performance from Al Pacino in 2002. That's always good. Still looks great. And what was interesting, and I didn't know this prior, but listening to the commentary track, because I'm that guy, Christopher Nolan does the commentary in the order of the shooting days, as opposed to just yammering over the film like 99% of the commentary track. So that was cool. So I did enjoy that. And that's it, folks. That's what I watched this week. It's a holiday weekend. We'll hopefully get some new features next week's program, as well as some DVD and Blu-ray releases. But it is now time to remind you that you're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. And it's time for you to grab a pencil. Let's go through what you have been watching over the last week. And everybody who's responded on social media, I did this a day early. So thank you for your patience and your flexibility. We start, as usual, on my email from my friend Eric, who his first time viewing included Portrait of a Lady on Fire, which he deemed superb. And that's a Criterion release that I've got to pick up soon. So I'm glad he finally got to catch that. And his rewatch, which he deemed a matchless 80s classic, Atlantic City. Louis Malle's Atlantic City with Burt Lancaster and Susan Sarandon. I love this film so much. In fact, I'm going to probably watch it and talk about it on next week's show. That's how much of an impact it has on me. Now that Local Hero has been given the Criterion treatment, and the fact that Tender Mercies was given a Blu-ray treatment with special features, I think Louis Malle's Atlantic City is now at the top of my Criterion wish list, along with Round Midnight and Big Night. So just putting it out there for you, Criterion. So thank you, Eric, for that. I'm glad you got to revisit Atlantic City. And that's just a fun film for me. I should go to the drive-in first. I'm just opening up screens now, folks, on the computer screen. I'm sorry. Over at the Tibbs drive-in, we have on screen one, Tenet, and Unhinged, two of the bigger films to go and actually open in theaters. Screen two, you have Space Jam and the first Back to the Future. Screen three, Bill and Ted Face the Music and Step Brothers. And screen four, The New Mutants and Words on Bathroom Walls. That is at the Tibbs drive-in, at the Skyline drive-in. And apparently Saturday, September 5th is First Responders Day. First responders get in free. There is a triple feature plus live music from Travis Conway, and also a silly safari and a huge fireworks show after the first movie. I guess it's September 5th. But this week, they're showing Bill and Ted's Face the Music, at 8:30. At 10:45, Pee-wee's Big Adventure, and at 12:30, Midnight Run. Good choices there. And I'm happy to say I introduced Emma to Midnight Run earlier earlier in the pandemic. Wow. So that's happening at Skyline Drive-In in Shelbyville. Of course, over at IU Cinema, you can check out Jazz on a Summer Day through September 9th, Days of the Whale through September 9th, Represent from September 16th, a special virtual event on Tuesday, September 8th, A Conversation with Agnes Varda. Of course, she had a Criterion release of her films. Thursday, September 10th through the 23rd is Papicha. Friday, September 11th is a virtual event of Whose Streets. And Tuesday, September 15th, a virtual event of Apparition at 7 o'clock on Tuesday, September 15th. All that happening courtesy of IU Cinema. And over at Can-Can, Thursday, September 17th, Liberty and Justice for All, screening number 2 of I Am Not Your Negro. And you have to make reservations for that. So go to cancanindie.com for reservations. Going to Twitter, essentially non-essential. Oh, come on. Essentially non-essential writes, the Essential watched King of Staten Island. Dan Sheehan writes, Queen and Slim, finally. I'm glad you saw that, Dan. More people need to see that. And I remember seeing the box office receipts and was happy at how much it did make. It still should make more, but which means more people should see it. Surely Not Me writes Cold War. Brian writes Beauty and the Beast, the live action version. Sean writes X-Men and the Greatest Show. Sam writes Evil Under the Sun. I believe the Peter Ustinov Hercule Poirot films are now out on Blu-ray. Death on the Nile, Evil Under the Sun. I think Appointment for Murder, if I remember right. Corey writes Farewell, My Lovely, and the Apple Dumpling Gang. Chuck writes Speed Cubers, The Taking of Deborah Logan, Ichi the Killer. And depending on the audience, I would recommend each of them. That's kind of the key of that. Just kind of know your audience at times. So that is through my Twitter page, at Matthew Soucy. Thank you. Going to Facebook. Diana writes, Peanut Butter Falcon and the Binge. And writes, Diana writes, I loved it. I know about Peanut Butter Falcon. I know some people have panned it. There's definitely a formula I have seen in other movies. In a way, there is a similarity to the plot to Blast from the Past or others I can't think of, but Shia LaBeouf's character was great. Yes, a lot of times as an audience, we know how the movie winds up, how pretty good chance of how it's going to end. The question is, do you enjoy the ride along the way? Darren writes, Palm Springs, Tesla, and Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Beverly writes, Poseidon Adventure Part 2. I believe that's beyond the Poseidon Adventure, but I know what you meant. Abby writes, Dr. Sleep. Jose writes, Red Eye, Escape from New York, and Binge Watch Cobra Kai. Melissa writes, Jojo Rabbit. Gretchen writes, Manhattan Murder Mystery. Steve writes, Super 8. Jackie writes, Message from the King, Get On Up, and Black Panther. There's going to be quite a few of those, I think. Jennifer writes 36 Hours. Judy writes Troop Zero, Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and Night at the Museum 2. Jed writes, hey, Jed Bryan, watch Anton Lee's new film Followed. What a crazy and on the edge of your seat ride. Highly recommended. Catherine writes, Sorry to Bother You, Us. Man, did you watch that as a double feature? Midsummer, Yesterday, and La Cage aux Folles. Krista writes, Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, and Before Midnight. And yes, Krista, I own the Criterion Blu-ray of that triple feature. Nice stuff there. Jessica writes, Jojo Rabbit and Eli, which she says also has a crazy twist. Lou writes, Mulan, the live-action Mulan, which is now on Disney, plus The Binge, Banana Split, Half of Centennial Summer, and at the moment, Sing You Sinners. Steven writes, Frenzy and Charade, or Charade if you're from the region. Nick Rogers writes, Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, She Dies Tomorrow, Sea Fever, and Have a Good Trip, Adventures in Psychedelics. Don't know if you've seen the Altered State of Drugachusetts from Mr. Show, but you should check that out. Rachel writes, Detective D, The Four Heavenly Kings. Cassandra writes, Black Panther. Joni writes, Holy Grail and Mystic Pizza, and then wrote in parentheses, didn't finish it yet. Well, Joni, I hope you finished it. Callie writes to Wong Fu, thanks for everything, Julie Newmar. Shockingly and sadly, 100% relevant. Top 10 for me. And Callie and everybody else, if you get a chance, John Leguizamo is the subject of this week's Random Rolls. Well, one of the subjects of Random Rolls on the AV Club. So it's a fun write-up. Maria writes, Iron Man. Michael writes, I'm watching SOB right now. Just watch Fast Times at Ridgemont High. Missy writes, The Founder. Joe Shearer writes, My Bloody Valentine, April Fool's Day, 1BR, Unknown Origins, Deadly Prey, the remake of Child's Play, All Together Now, Mission of Justice, Point Break, The Social Dilemma, and Possessor. Steven writes, Dead End, The 39 Steps, and Knives Out. Michelle writes, Wizard People and Dear Reader. Britt writes, Four Weddings and a Funeral, Get Nuked, the 2019 version of Charlie's Angels, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood, Hollywood Land, and Bad Boys for Life, which she wrote in all caps, terrible. Eric writes, I Am Mother, brilliantly done sci-fi, a Netflix original. Brian writes, Avengers Infinity Wars, Ant-Man and Wasp, Avengers Endgame, and The Da Vinci Code. Jeff writes, Lost Husband and The Frozen Ground. Nancy writes, Bill and Ted Face the Music and Idiocracy. As I always say, the documentary Idiocracy. Cassie writes, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. Marty writes, Mother. Oh, boy. Great allegory. The School, which he deemed meh. And They Come Knocking, which he deemed scary good. Al writes, Bill and Ted Face the Music. Dustin writes, Dr. Zhivago, Flashdance, and The Shape of Water. Wayne writes, rewatch The Thomas Crown Affair. Which one? There are two, you know. Monica writes, I watched a montage of the Twilight Saga, the plot-moving bits without the teenage eye-moping or extensive staring contests. I have zero shame. Also, it was for research, for science. Whatever you say, Monica. Whatever love wants. James writes, Alien vs. Predator, and Alien vs. Predator Requiem, Predators, and then writes, of those three, Predators was the best. And Tom, of course, adds, Alien vs. Predator vs. Spam, and so on and so forth. Alan writes, Bicycle Thieves, The Spy Who Came In from the Cold, and For Scholarship, The Long Kiss Goodnight. Kelly writes, North by Northwest, and Gone with the Wind. Matthew writes, watched Fury again. Dylan writes, The Legend of Simon Conjurer, but it was under the alternate title Deadly Lessons on Tubi. It's like a Neil Breen had a budget and more hubris. It's worth it for John Voight's prosthetics and scenery chewing. Jeff writes, The new Bill and Ted movie rules. Gary writes, John Wick. Mario writes, Jaws and Hunger Games. Craig writes, The Good Earth. Duke writes, The Kitchen and John Wick Parabellum. Howell writes, Black Panther. Deb writes, Michael Clayton. Roxana writes, Black Panther. Melissa writes, The Truth About Cats and Dogs. Good choice there, Melissa. Emma and I and Lynn watched that a couple of weeks ago. Joe writes, Black Panther, Outlander Seasons 3 and 4, Shadow of the Tower, Six Wives of Henry VIII, both from the BBC and PBS. Mary writes, Amacord and Boccaccio 70. Pardon my Italian. Diana writes, 42 and Black Panther, of course. So much talent. Lisa writes, Cider with Rosie, Wild Prairie Rose, and Golden Years. Kristen writes, We finally watched Joker. Scott writes, The Personal History of David Copperfield. It was fun to be in a theater again. We enjoyed this movie. Allison writes, The Post and Game Change. Both were poignant for these times in different ways. Tracy writes, Hulu suggested I might like The Skeleton Twins with Bill Hader. I'm not sure what that says about my mental state right now, but it's a good film. I did enjoy that. Liz writes John Wick. Aaron writes, I watched The Muppets randomly because nostalgia equals feelings equals ice cream. I recognize my endgame. Carrie writes, I watched a very weird movie called The Vanished. Creepy. Also watched Semi-Pro, which was funny, The Devil Wears Prada, and Here Comes the Boom. Boom goes the dynamite. Jules writes, Xanadu and Tough Turf. Wow, 1985 all over again. David writes, Red, Peanut Butter Falcon, and Jojo Rabbit. Jennifer writes, Parasite, along with, wow, what a ride. Glad you got to experience that, Jennifer. Abby writes, rewatch Black Panther. Also found the documentary Worlds of Ursula K. Le Guin, which was fantastic. David writes, Salad Days, a documentary about the punk music scene from 1980 to 1990. Also a documentary on thrash metal music. Daniel writes, we saw Rocket Man for our Friday night movie night. Andrea writes, we watched Clash of the Titans 2010 and 1984 in that order. Terry writes, apropos Denise and you, the crowd roars and poetry in motion. Sarah, with no H, writes Silver Linings Playbook and says, meh. Daniel writes, The Awful Truth, The Lady from Shanghai, Niagara, The Pale Face, Valley of the Dolls, The Trials of Oscar Wilde from 1960, Stan and Ollie, Frankie and Johnny, the Elvis Presley movie, not the Frankie and Johnny and Claire de Lune, and The Grand Illusion. Thank you, Daniel. Tom writes, we revisited M. Night Shyamalan's The Sixth Sense and were reminded of how exceptionally well done that film was. How can you not cry when the boy says, Grandma says every day? Frank writes, Bill and Ted Face the Music. Jamie writes, Black Panther, what a movie. Marianne writes, we watched Marianne and Dino's Excellent Adventure. They're on vacation. They've been traveling a lot. Actually, we watched Supremacy. This is the Marianne story. Love you, dear. Kathleen writes, all that jazz. Devin writes, Mr. Peabody and Sherman, Betty White, the First Lady of Television, and The Founder. And finally, Ryan writes, Project Power. And there you go, friends. That's what you've been watching. So hope you found some ideas to movies to watch, and hope you find a movie that is new or at least new to you, as well as falling back on your old favorites. And if you're up for seeing a movie in the theater, I totally understand. Just double check the guidelines and make sure everything is safe and everything is clean and everything is cool. Friends, some words to live by.
Silent breed is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Go see a good movie. You deserve it. There's plenty out there. Just keep looking. Hope you're staying safe. Hope you're staying sane. Hope you're staying healthy. Hope you're being good to one another. And we'll try this again next week. Thanks for listening. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film podcast here at WFYI.org. Good afternoon, Fort Myers. Good afternoon, California. Good afternoon, Michigan.
I can't believe you let her watch Manos. Is she scarred for life?
Let's put it this way.
What parent are you?
When I wake her up, I vocalize the theme to wake her up to get her ready to school.
Oh, you're a terrible father.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
We'll do it live!